heavy company. A lot of people saying, why won't North offer Higgins 2 years anyway?
Exactly. I can't understand that because I think it's not 2 years he wants. I think it's 3 years he wants.
Okay. Now, you are a great source of information for me and for our program and by extension our listening audience. And you watch a lot of stuff, a lot of American stuff, and you put us on the Hard Knocks, which is a documentary that follows a team in the preseason. This year it's the Oakland Raiders. And Antonio Brown is the big story. And everyone wants to know what Antonio Brown's doing. And physically he's had some feet issues. And now he's got the drama with the helmet. And we were sitting there watching Hard Knocks episode 2 or 3. And the guy sitting next to him started to talk. And he had a broad Australian accent wisp.
And I hit the pause button. I thought, did I just hear something? I rewound it, went back, listened to it again. I'm like, there's a young man. Then I found out that the young man that who was sitting there with Antonio Brown is Jamie Hebner. So I said to our producer, let's track this young man down and find out exactly what he's doing over there in the States.
That's exactly what we've done. He joined us on the line. Jamie, welcome.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Give us your background because we were flabbergasted when we saw you there just sitting with one of the world's most recognisable sports persons talking through his sort of intensity levels. Give us your background and then let us know what you're doing over there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've got a heavy AFL football background. I spent 5 years coaching at the Geelong Falcons and with Buddha Hocking and Mick Turner down there, and spent 3 years in Adelaide with the talent program at the SANFL and the Institute of Sport there, and spent another 3 years at AFL Victoria with footy there with a lot of guys still running around the league now in their kind of lead up to the draft in terms of physical conditioning and sports science is the term, which is a bit of a dirty word in Australia, but I guess that's my technical title. But yeah, and so 5 years ago, almost made the decision to come over when Catapult company was making their kind of push to expand globally. And yeah, 4.5 years, almost 5 years has kind of gone by quickly, and essentially now act as a consultant through sports science department that Catapult has to a lot of these teams. And yeah, the Antonio Brown one was, it's just kind of come about. This, you know, he called, I was actually in my garage and I got a phone call from an unknown number and said, Jamie, what's up? I said, not much. Who's this? He said, it's Antonio Brown. How you doing? I thought, no, I'm doing well. You know, out of the blue, I'd met him a couple of times and we just started working together, you know, and that was before the feet and the helmet. And so it's been quite an adventure and one that I've thoroughly enjoyed.
So, Jamie, good morning. Tim here. So what is he looking for specifically, Antonio Brown, when he contacts somebody like you?
Well, it's quite a unique, you know, for you know, Australian sports people and followers. Over here, they have very strict rules around the collective bargaining agreement where they're not allowed to contact the team or be in contact with the team. So basically every player has some form of personal coaches for the off-season, and that was really my role. I guess he was in between going from the Steelers and to the Raiders, and so essentially it was during the off-season when he was away from the Raiders, tracking and prescribing his running, you know, load and what type of, you know, running he was doing. And yeah, I guess that time period extended further than we thought because of his feet, and so it ended up being more return to play stuff after that happened. So yeah, essentially just a personal coach.
Did he contact you? So he was the one that found your number. And how would he have got a hold of your number? And was that, I mean, Catapult obviously highly regarded. Did he go through that company?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so he just, it was, you know, it was Catapult as much as it is me personally, right? Like it's about, you know, getting him set up with tracking, and he's really big on measuring what he's doing and these sorts of things. So, he went through a team that had, you know, Catapult whatever, and got in contact with me and Joe Marinaro, our, you know, my partner in the business side, and just kind of went from there.
So, Jamie, is he trying to track the same things that AFL players or people associated in this same space in AFL football would be trying to track?
Well, no, actually, I mean it's quite different, and that's been a big part of my learning curve. You know, having spent 10 plus years working in football, as we call it, the Americans call it football too. But, it was coming up with the right things, and a big part of it is, I mean, he wasn't really set on what he wanted to track, and that's really where I came in, was to give him that feedback that was specific to, you know, him knowing he wanted to measure what he, you know, some things, but not exactly set on what he wanted to to measure. So replicating game intensity and making sure he didn't do too much in practice, and that was really where I came in to decipher a lot of that.
What sort of athlete is he? I mean, we watch him, he looks absolutely phenomenal. His power and his speed, and his, I mean, where does he sit in terms of, you would have worked with some great AFL-type athletes, where does he sit?
Yeah, I've worked with, I was thinking back, the type of guy, Lockie Whitfield's probably the best guy I've been involved with at, you know, 18, at when he was 18, in terms of capacity for running and just phenomenal. Paddy Dangerfield was incredible at 18 as well. But, I mean, just by far and away the best athlete that I've ever seen or even been around. He, I mean, he's quick, right? Like, and you can see that on TV. But his capacity for repeat high-intensity work is just phenomenal. And, you know, the data was about, first and foremost, not making him any worse, right? And trying to get him ready for the season. But just incredible. His capacity for volume of high intensity over and over and over again is just the best I've ever seen.
Hey, Jamie, take away the fame and the money. Are athletes similar? The athletes that you've worked with here in Australia at AFL level, are they similar in terms of all their same insecurities and the way that they're personalities are structured and their beings? Are they very similar in those areas?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was a bit, I kind of gave up, you know, my lifestyle and a career I'd worked very hard for to kind of jump ship and jump into the unknown a little bit over here. And it was incredible how similar things were, even down to football culture over here. You know, like football culture is football culture, and it's a good portion of that translated from what I'd, you know, been involved with, you know, for a long time, just to over here. But absolutely, like footballers and athletes, you know, it was incredible how similar they are, and just really down to the core of, you know, wanting to perform, and the extra mile guys go to, and the, you know, you devote your whole life at this level, right? When they're as good as he is, you know, all the way down to those little things. And nice guy, family guy, you know, the kind of driven individual, team culture stuff, right? Like, have a laugh. Yeah, translated in, you know, amazingly.
Hey, Jamie, you mentioned at the start of this interview that, you know, sports science has got it's a dirty name in AFL footy. The really interesting thing we've witnessed over time is as the players have become more, they're full-time professionals now. And I speak with Paul Roos, who's, you know, a former coach, and he's, one of his great bugbears is that as a coach, they can't get enough access to the players to do the sorts of things they want because the sports science guys are dragging them off the track and they won't let them kick for goal because, you know, the load and all those sorts of things. Is that what you mean when you say that sports science has got a bad name? And where are we at in trying to marry up the need to get better with the need to, you know, recover?
Well, it was more of a lighthearted take in reference to my comment of the Essendon. I'm not even going to mention anyone's name because it shouldn't even get any airtime. But in general, you're right. I mean, it does go to that kind of second level, I think. And, you know, maybe, you know, I've been away for 5 years. You know, I'm probably not quite as in touch in Australia the day-to-day. But no doubt, I mean, the pendulum can probably swing that far. But we don't, you know, the things I'm talking about and consulting with over here are the complete opposite, where really, you know, volume is super, super high, and we're seeing, you know, not necessarily at fault, but just the kind of inherent, the way things are done over here. It's far more autocratic, but, overall, the head coach has the final say still. And, you know, where I'm coming from is more, if teams can see a competitive advantage for having some consideration for whether it is a progressive structure of doing thing one, not doing the same thing every week, or just listening to guys, I definitely think there's a happy medium. And I use sports science as a, you know, that's my title technically, but, you know, it's more of a broad performance coach, where it is sports science and, you know, strength and conditioning and running and those sorts of pieces. So yeah, I think you're right. And it can be a dirty word where, maybe you don't get enough time. On the flip side of that, I mean, working with a guy like AB, we have a five-month preseason in Australia and we see injuries in the first week. I mean, how, I don't understand how that happens still, you know, where we have this, you know, you were talking about limited access. Over here, they have far, far less access to the players at the pro level. And we still see like a whole bunch of hamstring injuries and whatever after when we have full control over them all summer. So I think there's a piece in the middle where, you know, like there's a perfect world. And, you know, if it was an easy answer, everyone would be doing it. But it's a real interesting one. I haven't seen both sides of the contrasting, you know, leagues.
Hey, Jamie, just quickly before we let you go, everybody's after a competitive advantage. Have you spotted something or have you seen something that you believe that could be added to an AFL program that would give them some slight advantage in this area?
Well, it's an interesting one. Had a couple of the guys from St Kilda visit me over the off-season and we, you know, visited some teams and things together. It's maybe more the... I think we get emotionally or over-invested in players that we draft at times in Australia, and it's probably too far over here with the NFL players treated as commodities and traded quickly when they're not going to be a part of your next premiership window, as we call it. I think that's a piece that we, you know, Geelong and a few teams are starting to look at that with heavy involvement in trade periods and things like that. But I think there's an element to that where we stick by a first-round pick, and whether he's good or bad, he will be at your club for the next 10 years. Maybe at times cutting your losses and being more aggressive with getting senior players. I think that's an interesting one. That and culture. The good teams, you know, there's a reason the Browns have high draft picks and not a whole lot of wins, right? And some of the other teams just keep on winning. And we see the same in the AFL where you can have a high first-round pick and you can still not be where you need to be because the guys around him or the system that he comes in. So they're probably the two that I've noticed, culture and the over-investment in players.
Hey, Jamie, it's a great chat. We really appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll stay in touch if that's okay and follow your career with great interest. You're doing some amazing things over there and it was great to talk to you this morning.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.